you want to take your Bibles and go to Galatians. As I've been talking to people, especially yesterday and last night, it seems like the consensus is that this has been good. That this has been a really nice weekend to be in God's Word and to be with each other. And the teaching of God's Word has really been wonderful, starting with Michael, you know, keeping God first. And that is the most important thing that any of us could do with our lives. And then Joe on how vital communication is. And then Bob sharing on sex. It was just exquisite. I've never heard anything quite like that in my life. It was an amazing sharing in God's Word. And we've had ample time to be with one another as a couple this weekend, without the distractions that normally face us when we live in our home, when we're at our homes or at our jobs. And we've had ample time to be with believers, which is always great. It's just been a really, and this is really a nice place. I mean, our rooms were comfortable. I hope yours was. And, you know, the food here was exceptional. You know, like I mentioned the first night, it's been a long time since I did anything at a hotel. And, there is a difference in the food, isn't there? Between a hotel and, you know, like Camp Jason or whatever we used to have it at. When I first moved here, all the advances that we had, which was a lot back then because we were all younger and could sleep on ridiculously uncomfortable places. But we did the camp where they filmed Friday the 13th. So, anyway, Galatians is good. Today I'd like to share in this closing on something that I've worked and studied before and taught many, many times in light of how to be especially good to the household. And as I was looking through notes this past week, I thought, gee whiz, you know, this wouldn't be a bad idea of practical things to think about when it concerns our spouse, because of course our spouse is in the household, right? Is yours?
Yes.
Okay. Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Well, look at that verse. Are our spouses in the household?
Yes.
Well, then we should be especially good unto them. One literal translation of this verse was, I'll try to read it slow so you can actually write something down. Therefore, as we have the proper time, and then there's a parentheses thing, and it says to sow, S-O-W, end of parentheses. Let us work for the good of all. Let us work for the good of all, but especially for the believers. Therefore, as we have the proper time to sow, let us work for the good of all, but especially for the believers. You know, we want to be nice to our mailmen. We want to be nice to our garbage men or the places where we go to the store and buy groceries, or we should be nice to the guy at the gas station. You know? And we should be especially great to believers. I think sometimes we have a special category for our spouse that comes somewhere below where they ought to come. Somewhere below other believers. And that's not right. Ephesians 5. Shakespeare was right when he said the whole world is a stage. A stage is usually a place that houses people who do acts, who act like they're not, who put on certain masks and certain accents and act certain ways that aren't necessarily indicative of who they really are. We live in a home or an apartment. We live someplace. Everyone here lives someplace, right? And most of us live with our wives, right? Well, we should just be especially kind to those in our house, especially if it's your wife or your husband. And I know about life. I've lived a little bit. Chapter 5, verse 1. People mentioned this weekend. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. God wants us to imitate him. He wants us to mimic him. He wants us to look to him and see how he is so we can be like him. Now, I know God is spirit, but many, many qualities of God is mentioned in God's word. I once did a study, you know, silly word study, wasn't anything special, but I said special like an Ohio person then. Spatial. But I just looked up the phrase, God is. That's all. God is, you know, whatever. There were 42 things that I saw. There's probably 90, but I saw 42 different things that it says God is that indicated what he was like. God is love. God is kind. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is, you know, and you go on and on. Well, here it says, be followers of God as his dear children. We are to imitate God. Are we kind? Are we merciful? Are we gracious? Are we loving, you see? And are we that way with our spouse? Are we gracious? Are we merciful? Are we kind? Are we loving? Are we good? Yeah. Then it says, walk in love, as Christ also walked, as Christ also loved us. Love is giving. You remember, John 3:16, for God so loved that he what? You know, he gave his only begotten son. Love is giving. So, we are to give to the body of Christ, but certainly our wife or our husband would be included in the body of Christ. I'd think they'd be right up there, you know, as a big deal. Do we give to our husbands and wives? When Diane and I pray together, one of the things that I always pray for is that we can seek ways to bless each other more. Seek indicates look, right? Look for ways you can bless your spouse. I remember one time my Joyce went to overseas to Scotland, and this was back when I had long hair and I was in like my FU stage. I was mad at everybody, but I was going to stand on God's word, hell or high water, you know. And so I thought it might bless her if I got my hair done in cornrows to meet her at the plane when she got to Boston. It was quite a sight, actually. And when she got off the plane and saw me, she was so disgusted. She didn't talk to me all the way from Boston to New Jersey. Did any of you ever see them, cornrows? I had to take them out pretty quick, I think. But then again, you women have to understand, us men are stupid. That didn't come up this weekend in any of the teaching by the men. It's interesting. But if you understand that men are babies and stupid, that's a good step for you to understand. So here I am with cornrows. I looked ridiculous. I knew it. I just thought it'd bless her. What an idiot. That looks pretty good, doesn't it, honey? She just went to the where you get your baggage and just wanted to get out of there. So that's all right. I tried. Philippians 4. Can you imagine that? Oh, well. Bless my heart. But if we follow God, if we imitate God, and, you know, are especially good to our wives or husbands, by imitating God, they'll get really blessed. I mean, if they still like God and stuff. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think these things. Well, now, the think there at the end is that word logizomai. You know, you really, you work it over, you mull it over, and that's where you end up. Whatsoever things are true. Well, God and his word are true. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And the word true means anything that's opposed to being false. So it's true. God wants us to think the things that are true. He wants us to think the things that are honorable, are honest, venerable. He wants us to think the things that are just, right, becoming, righteous. He wants us to think that way. He wants us to think those things that are pure, which means clean, clear through, pure, without any sense of odor, stain, color, or anything useless whatsoever. It's pure, pure, pure. That's how God wants us as believers to think. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's what God wants us to think about. That's what he wants us to conclude. Man, it'd be great to think that way of our spouses. You know, as mad as we could get at our spouses, they're still just as righteous is. They're just as redeemed and complete as anybody has ever been. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, no matter, you know, no matter. Doesn't matter. It's a great one. Philippians 2. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory or pride, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Elevate them. Bless them. Elevate your spouse, not just in public, but in your homes. Elevate them, not in quality, but in priority. You're with them. Elevate them. Bless them. I think we all need to be loved the most when we deserve it the least. That'll shut you up real quick too, you know. You're ready for a big old fight and your spouse goes, ah, I love you. And you're like, is this a trick? You what? Yeah. A literal for this, amongst others, this is one. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain glory. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain glory. That's a tough one. We say it's not tough, but that's a tough one. Because we're always thinking. Our mind is always running. And many times it runs and it centers around our own self. So it says here, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vainglory, but with humility of mind, let everyone consider others first. But with humility of mind, let everyone consider others first. Many of you are tremendous examples of this to me. You're just wonderful. You're looking, you're seeking to bless others, and that is tremendous. I see it when these things come up. You're always looking out for each other. You're praying for each other. You're checking in on each other. And that is awesome. If that's how we are when we're with each other, is that how we are when we're at home? You know, and you're in your boxer shorts, or, you know, you women are in that robe that you had for 38 years. You know? It used to look like a towel, but now it looks like something else. I don't know. And like strings hanging down, you know, stupid robe. Are we looking to bless one another. Colossians 1. Don't we have some pathetic things in our house? I just started thinking about that. This is my favorite shirt. Man, burn that stupid shirt. It's so stupid. I don't know whatever happened to my ugly shirts. I think mommy got rid of them, man. I don't know. Remember, I had some classics. Fluorescent green. I thought they were awesome. But one day, they just weren't there. Where'd it go? I don't know. I think I saw Jesse taking it down the street. Jesse got blamed for everything. And really, it was the middle one that did most of the damage. All nice and smiley. She had me convinced I couldn't hit her. You know how you belt your kid with a fist? You guys don't do that? Yeah. Yeah, you're supposed to reprove him once in a while with a little pop in the ass or something. She never got touched. I go, Jossie. She goes, I think it was all fake now, come and think of it. 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul, if you ever really look at the church epistles and the things that Paul, I am shocked that Paul did anything else but pray because of how much it comes up. Prayer is something that none of us really understand how awesome it is and how exactly it all works. I mean, maybe you do. I've never heard anybody be that authoritative about it. But I do know that it comes up a lot, and I do know that it works. And it says here, for this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Well, what about our spouses? Man, there should never be a day that goes by that we don't pray for our lovely wives or our ugly husbands. You know, there should never be a day that goes by without that, that you don't pray. Matter of fact, that should be one of the first people you pray for, is your beautiful wife or your husband. And look at what he prayed for here, to desire that he might be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What a great prayer, that we could understand God better, that we could walk for God better. Even at 57, even at 25, see, that we can walk better, that we could understand God better, that we could have a greater relationship with our Heavenly Father. I mean, boy, that's just the greatest. If you got a great relationship with God, then life, even though it's tough sometimes, it's just awesome because you've got a great relationship with God. I mean, look at the book of Jeremiah. I mean, that guy didn't, you know, I don't think he was tap dancing every day of his life down the street. Well, today, what a great day. You know, no. No. He had a rough time sometime, but he had a great relationship with God. You know, I know. God talked to him all the time. Pray for your spouse. Romans 15. You know what I love? I love when I'm around believers who brag about their spouses. Gosh, that's awesome. You know, isn't it just the greatest thing? No? Okay. Well, verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, I don't know what is all involved there, but somehow we got in. And it wasn't because of any work that we did. It says we were dead. We were without God, without hope in this world. We were useless pieces of dung. We really were. And somehow, by God's goodness, grace, mercy, peace, and all that stuff, we got in. We're born again of God's family. You know? So's our wives. So's our husbands. Acts 2. I just like looking at these verses, see, in light of marriage. I never did before. Because if it applies to the believers, it certainly would apply to us as couples. We're believers. Acts 2, verse 42. And this course is the day of Pentecost, and this is some of the things that they did that really helped cement together the church. And look at what they did. See if we do this with our wives. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Wow. I'll tell you one thing that's very important for a couple to stay like-minded concerning doctrine. If you're starting to float away from the doctrine and you're coming up with some new stuff that isn't right on, and your husband or wife, whatever the case may be, goes, hey, now that's a bunch of baloney. You got to be like-minded on God's word, boy, or it just won't work at all. Then you'll just, you'll never know. You'll have a lousy marriage. So you got to have the doctrine straight. You know, kind of like Jews, Gentiles, fellow heirs, and of the same body. That's a good place to start, the mystery. And that the Bible's true, and that none of us know it all. That we can operate in nine manifestations, that we're complete. There's a bazillion things to agree on. And one day, you come up with a new doctrine. You know, Jesus Christ had three hands. And you know, this is deep. I mean, if you really look in the Aramaic, I mean, who cares? I don't care if he had 10 hands. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. It doesn't really address how many hands Jesus had. Does it? You know what? It's as ridiculous as some of the crap that's out there that you're going, I wonder if that's true. Shut up. Stay like-minded on God's word. That is really vital. Okay? That's the first thing. And fellowship. And Bob really nailed that one yesterday about fellowship. All those great words that mean fellowship, communion, you know. Savage sex was one of them. And sharing fully. That was just so great how you put all that together. I'm still zinging on that. So you'd certainly want to have a full sharing with your spouse. Man, if you're sharing your heart with every other believer and then you're not sharing it with your spouse, that's just not fair. They get to be the recipients of your fellowship, and your spouse isn't. That's kind of lousy. I'd be upset about that if Diane talked to everybody else about everything deep, and then I came home and she just kind of said, hi. That's kind of lonely. I feel left out. Fellowship. Sharing fully. And breaking of bread, which honestly was, in the lands and times of the Bible, was a very significant thing, to break bread, because it would be salted. The bread would be salted, or the meat would be salted. Of course, that covenant is a covenant of one that you never go back on what you say. You die before you go against that person. You know, we do it at marriage ceremonies, and everybody's all excited, hot, and bothered about it. Well, should be, because it's a great, great covenant. So they ate together. And they prayed together. One of the things I said at the opening night was, when's the last time you prayed with your spouse? Right. And then it says, fear, respect came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to believe God for some tremendous miracles, to believe God to see supernatural things happen in your marriage. Or if they're not in your marriage, for you to operate the nine manifestations of the Spirit and then come home and share it with your wife or your husband. Honey, you know what I saw, man? Somebody got healed today. They had a cold. The word was taught. At the end of the teaching, he was healed. Isn't that a great thing to share? isn't it? Yeah. Come on, wake up now. Don't be lost when the time comes. The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Do you see the light? Sorry. Old training. Look. Then it says they sold their possessions and their goods and parted them to all as every man had need. This is a good one, boy. Do we give to others what we don't need? Joe has a policy, Armstrong, that he gets rid of stuff. Or, you know, that's what he says. I mean, you know, he gets rid of stuff that he doesn't. If he doesn't use it in a year, he gets rid. He gives it to people. I've seen him do it. That's awesome. As a couple, do you do that? Do you give stuff to each other, or to people in the fellowship that might need stuff? That's a fun thing to do. Not with a string attached. I gave to you. Now, bring it on over here this way. That's not giving. That's baloney. That's New Jersey. Sorry. Meaning, I sure have seen it in New Jersey more than any other place in my life where people give, but there's a string dangling. That's not giving. That's baloney. They gave, every man had need. And they, all I got to do is read it here. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Daily. Well, most of us see our spouses daily. They continued daily with one accord. They were like-minded. They were like-minded. And they did it every day. And in order to be like-minded, you have to communicate, which what Joe really shared so well. You got to talk things over. You got to be in tune with one another's heart. And I've heard people say, I'm not that way. In other words, as far as sharing your heart. Well, my answer to that is, if you say so. There's not one person in here who doesn't have a heart. Maybe your heart's been hurt because you've shared it before. Well, I'm really sorry about that, but that would include you with everybody else in this world. We need to share our hearts with our spouses. If you're out there sharing your heart with everybody else except your spouse, it's a bunch of baloney. And one reason it's important is so that you can be like-minded. And they broke bread from house to house. You guys excel at that. You're great at eating. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Be happy. You know, sometimes I think we try to get out of the word happy. One of the words for joy, which, yeah, I know I've heard about inside job. One of the words for joy in the Greek is happy. Okay, you ready for this? Put your pens down really quickly. Just, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Okay, thanks. And then it says, praising God and having favor. Praising God and having favor. Well, having grace with all the people. Well, how about our spouse? And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, or those that were saved. What a tremendous record in God's Word in light of how the body of Christ can work. But also, how awesome that could be in a marriage to apply those things. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. And in verse 1 through 5. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Well, one great way to give, and here it's just talking about the utterance manifestations or the worship manifestations, but that's one way to give to the body. And I know that you're not supposed to have tongues interpretation and prophecy with two. I understand that. But I'll tell you what, it's a tremendous thing to encourage each other on. So, you know, let's speak in tongues more today than we have in a long time. Okay, honey? Okay, let's just do that. Let's, everything we can think of, we just speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues all day long. And then at fellowship, you know, let's seek that we could excel. Let's go for it. Let's see if we get called on or let's manifest, you know. That's a great attitude. That's the Word's attitude. And we ought to encourage one another as spouses to speak in tongues more. What's wrong with that? Yeah, Romans 13. Romans 13, I'd like to share on the gift ministries right now. No, just kidding. Romans 13. Verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. One thing that hasn't been covered this week is money. Is money. It's touched upon briefly, but a great key with money is don't spend what you don't have. And I am astounded and have been for years at how quickly the adversary makes it available for people to violate this principle. As young as in high school, they're sending kids credit card applications and stuff like that. Don't spend what you don't have. Okay, let's say you violated that for the last 30 years. Okay, how about starting today, don't spend what you don't have. I'm not condemning you, but don't spend what you don't have. Money is funny. It is a funny deal, money. Money is funny. And if you want to have a screwed up marriage, get screwed up financially, because then everybody's on edge all the time. The bill's got to get paid. Well, they would have if you didn't buy a new BMW. Dopey. So you can impress everybody that you drive around with. You know, it would have been if you didn't buy that extra house. Come on now. You want to get screwed up in a marriage? That's a good way to start. Getting all kinds of major debt. And if you're in debt right now, don't condemn yourself. And I'm not condemning you. Let's start today. Don't spend what you don't have. Try to get rid of the stuff that you don't need. We already read that. Life's pretty practical and pretty easy. I can't imagine. You know, if I think I owe somebody something, it just drives me nuts. Until I get it taken care of somehow. You know? What made me think of that? Oh yeah, no, no man anything. Yeah, oh, there you go. It's in the Bible. What we should owe is love. What we should want to do is to love. In a marriage, that's what we should be looking at. Loving each other. Golly, look at chapter 12, verse 9. I forget who covered this one. I think Joe did, or Bob, or Michael. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. This is some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Let love be without dissimulation. You know, don't wear a mask. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a phony with your love. Don't have 50 smiles on your face to everybody else except the people in your house. Try the people in your house first. Then the smiles outside the house will be a little more genuine. You smile, you're nice to everybody. You come home, you get mad at your husband. As soon as he walks in the door, you bitch at him. As soon as, you know, the husband walks in the door, he yells about where's the dinner and all that stuff. Who wants to live like that? Chill out. Just go sit in your living room, shut up and pray and hold hands or something. Till the steam gets off your head. Take it easy. Take it easy. Don't be a phony with love. It says, abhor that which is evil. Abhor means to avoid at all costs. And I love God is so great because He never tells us stuff to do without telling us, or not to do without telling us what to do. Abhor, avoid at all costs that which is evil, by cleaving yourself together to that which is what? And I don't know if that word cleaves the same word that you looked at in the Old Testament, bond or whatever it was.
It's the Greek and the Hebrew, so it's
different. Well, I know they're different, but I mean it's very similar in their meanings. Because gleam means, cleave means to weld together. And a weld is really strong. What'd you say, like the separated damages it or something?
Can't separate it without being damaged.
Yeah. I mean, that really blessed me because I was thinking, you know, this word's like that too. Abhor that which is evil. Avoid at all costs that which is evil by welding yourself together that which is good. And I do this all the time, but it wouldn't be a bad thing to do here. What's good? Yeah, first row, somebody in the first row. Something good. God, okay, second row.
Spouse.
Oh, of course you'd say that. You've been married 2 days. 2 months from now, go, my car. No. God, your spouse, the next row, come on.
Some, love.
What?
God's
love.
Love.
Giving.
Manifestations.
Prayer.
Grace.
God's word.
Home.
Home.
Hope.
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 Renewing
your mind to God's word.
Carlo, we're in this row here. But yes, will the judges take that?
Yeah.
Okay. This row.
The word.
It's already been said.
Children.
Nice.
Food.
What?
Food.
Got forgiveness.
Okay. Forgiveness.
Life.
Who said that? Okay.
Mercy.
Grace.
Peace.
Sleep. Okay. Now, okay. We just went through how many of our rows that was, and it really wasn't a strain for us to think about what is good. God's word here says, avoid at all costs that which is evil by cleaving or welding ourselves together to that which is good. We can train our minds to think that way. And certainly in a marriage, that's very apropos. You know, I don't know if Glenn's ever going to not take the socks off the floor. That may never happen. So either there'll be a stinky floor, or, you know, Amanda's just going to have to, you know, pick them up gingerly and put them in the wastebasket. Now, where do you put them? Clothes hamper? Whatever you got. So, I mean, some things in our lives, there's going to be things in our lives that we don't like about each other, but there's so many more good things even in our lives. And, geez, we just mentioned a bunch of things that are good. I think it's really significant to think what's good. It'll help our head. As a spouse, we might be able to help each other avoid at all costs that which is evil by being good, by cleaving to things that are good. We help each other stay on the ball by sharing God's word with each other. It's not religious to share God's word. If that's religion, then I want it. No. Philippians 2. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I read this already, didn't I? I did. But it's still a good one. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And again, that should be pretty dang easy if we just decide that it's going to be. Like, I love Jan and Greg West. You know what? She calls her husband Presh. She's been calling him that ever since they got married. She still calls him that after all those years of knowing him. First John. Prish. For years, I was like, God, what a prish. But then I thought about it. And I thought, man, that's sweet. That's better than, you know, shithead. You know, shit is a perfectly legitimate word, and I tell your children that at camp all the time. Speak heartily in tongues. Think about it. 1 John 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Well, how about if any man say, I love God, but can't stand his spouse? He's a liar. Oh, and that Romans too is something I didn't point out. You know, I love them, but I don't like them. You've heard that one. But I love them with the love of God. But can't stand. Well, what happens to be kindly affectionate another with brotherly love? What about that one? Are you going to throw that one out? I love him, but man, I cannot stand his guts. What is that? What is that? Not good. We learn to like each other by looking at each other in terms of what's good. That's how you learn to like somebody. You know, it's not difficult to love a believer if you're looking to love believer. If you're looking at the things of that believer that makes them so special to the body of Christ. What about your wife or husband? And you know, by the way, at one time, we dated. At one time, you got hot flashes every time you thought of the person. Your palms sweated. You could hardly wait to see them. You could hardly wait to be with them. Your heart would just be like butterflies with hiccups. You know? Heart can wait. Oh, just wow. And I know you see them every day now, and it's like, okay, but what about if they go on vacation for like 3 days? Do you miss them? It drives me nuts. I hate it. But I know sometimes it's good, you know, for the ladies to get out. You know. I don't like it. I don't have to like it. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, you treat them like, okay, get the food. You know, it's so silly. Galatians 5. It's not good for man to be alone. I think God really... I wished I understood Genesis more, but I think there's so much in Genesis chapters 1 through like 7 that, you know, basically explains everything. This is incredible. Galatians 5, verse 13. This is a good one. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Well, yeah, serve one another. Bless each other. You know, do something for your spouse that would really bless them. Do it something every day like that, that would really bless them. Even if it took like 4 minutes. It doesn't take long to do stuff. What happens is we see something to do and we go, yeah, that's a good idea. And they just keep going. That'd be a really cool thing to do someday. Well, you can do it right now. If you let them know it. If you love them, let them know it. Don't wait till the tombstone and they're gone. You know? Make sure they know. You know? Don't wait. No? Okay. Good. Ephesians 4. Verse 29. Joe covered a lot. Really, he covered a lot of what I'm sharing, actually. It must mean we're right on. I'm just kidding. 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, when I first realized that, when I really, really realized that I could actually minister grace, not just be the recipient of grace, but actually be able to minister grace to other people, that was like the greatest day. I was like, wow, it really does say that. Well, think about in a marriage how important that is. What are those really good, cool definitions of grace? I know one, but Joe, you know all these. Yes, you do. Anyone. I'll take one. Yeah, inclined towards somebody. What else?
Unmerited divine favor.
Unmerited divine favor, you know. Unmerited divine favor. Incline yourself. In other words, your heart just kind of goes that way. To extend unmerited favor, you know, how much do any of us really deserve? And yet God continues to shower His grace upon all of us. And we're to be followers of God as His dear children. And we can minister grace to those that we're around. And we're around our spouse a lot. And again, sometimes when we deserve it, when we don't deserve it, that's when we really need it. You know, grace. Imagine that with your spouse every day. Hi, honey. I love you so much. And let's say your spouse has done one good thing in the last month. Just keep bringing it up until they do something else. You know, that one thing you did was so great. I know it was 6 years ago, but honey, you know, stay at it, you guys. Just stay at it. Stay after love. Love wins. Love wins. It says so. Well, it says love never what? So that's a good thing. Never flunks the test. Verse 32 here. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, the thing that tenderizes our heart the most is God, His Word, and prayer. I don't know a better way to get a tender heart if you don't already have one. And if you'd like to keep one, that's the greatest place to go. That's how our heart is tender. Like, I'll bet you some of you last night ate some sort of meat item. And either that meat was tender or it wasn't tender. And when meat isn't tender, you know, it just kind of makes your jaws sore. You know, you chew. Even though it tastes good, you just keep chewing and chewing and chewing. And then, you know, a couple crowns fall out of your mouth. And, you know, then you got to call Dr. Joe again. And it's a whole mess. But if it's tender, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Tender. And you know what? This is what God's Word says here. It says, be kind one to another. Be kind. As tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And you know the whole deal about forgiveness, don't you? You know, think about what God's forgiven you for, and then you should never have a problem forgiving anybody else. Bless you. I mean, really, think about it. He actually has forgiven us for stuff in our lives that we think is just so disgusting. It's over with. Jesus Christ handled that whole thing for us and also for our spouses. Be nice. Be nice to each other. Be forgiving. Man, an unforgiving heart breeds bitterness. It breeds anger. And it eventually will breed one of the worst things there is, and that's apathy. When you absolutely get to that place where you stop caring. So get rid of that junk. God forgave us. Look at the Apostle Paul. Any of you done that yet? Been responsible for the deaths and imprisonment of hundreds and hundreds of believers? No. So, I mean, how cool was Paul? He received the revelation of the great mystery. He walked with his Heavenly Father. He didn't even condemn himself. How about that? So be forgiven. Get over it. Life's too short. How about Galatians 6? These two verses are just, you know, these verses all apply to all of us and how we treat each other as believers, and certainly they're apropos for marriage. Brethren, verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, crucify him, kill him, throw him to the lions. No! No! Ye which are what? Restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Well, that's pretty clear. How important is this in a marriage? If your spouse is overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Think about yourself here, lest thou also be tempted. You know the old story, you point one finger at somebody, you're pointing three back at yourself. That's pretty dang true, really. You know, so in a marriage, we want to do our best to bless them, remind them of God's word, but not in a haughty way. You know what cracks me up? I've seen people that have been away from the word for years and years and years, and they come back and they get back in God's word, and then they're a know-it-all. They know everything. You know, in 2 months, they've been back for 2 months, and they're telling everybody what to do, and they're almost pointing fingers, and it's like, it's hysterical to me. I'm thankful they're back in God's word. I'm thankful they're wound up. But, you know, take it easy. 2 months ago, you know, you were banging chickens someplace. Just as an example. You know, people, never mind. You know, it's just amazing, though. All of a sudden, a bright light goes off in our head, which means we get back in fellowship, and then we're a know-it-all. And we have the right answer for every... Okay, great. Maybe you do. And that is fine, and that is good, because the Word of God is right on. But do you have that spirit of meekness? Considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Boy... This verse is not saying don't help somebody. This verse is saying help somebody, actually. But with a heart, with love, with tenderness. I mean, one advantage I've had through the years is I've been here with you. And you've been here with me. And we know each other. We know the good parts about each other, and we know the bad parts about each other. And really, there's pretty much nothing hidden. One thing you can say about New Jersey is you're not a bunch of phonies. And I love that. You know, even with all our flaws. You know, I could look down these rows, man, and I could think of times, pivotal times when we were together, when we fought it out, or we cried, or we hugged, or we laughed, or, you know, whatever it is. And I don't ever anticipate that to change. And I think this is one of the reasons. Because you are pretty dang good at this. You know, we help each other, but we don't point fingers at each other. You don't look down on one another, because we know that we're not perfect. We know Him who is perfect, and that's one of the reasons this whole thing works, because we care about each other. You know, when one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we're pretty happy about it. When we have a time to party in this damn joint, we party. Last night, we were dancing in the window for these guys were in the they were coming back from dinner. I think it was the Uramians and the Cochilados and the Genoveses and the Pappuses, right? No? No Uramian. Where was Uramian?
The second batch of cake.
Did you see us up in the window dancing?
I did.
Oh my, who did? It was so much fun. I mean, you know, when you got a time to party, you party. We had ideas about mooning people, then we had. That would have been awesome. but we want to be a blessing to each other. Dancing was cool. You know, what's the old saying? Get off your high horse. I mean, you know, who here knows it all? Please raise your hand, you know, and teach us. But we know him who does. We know a little bit of God's word, and we should be more than excited to share the word of God more perfectly one with another, but do it with a spirit of meekness. Don't, you know, lest ye also be tempted. It's right there. And that's really important in a marriage. Romans 15. Verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And this came up this weekend too. Admonish, you know. It's that word, nuthateo. You know, you remind each other of the word. That's really, here's what the word says. We help each other like that. We remind each other of God's word. We lovingly, with compassion, somebody said compassion is good. Compassion is really good. With compassion, remind each other of God's word. 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, and something I didn't really point out there in that Galatians was bear one another's burdens in a marriage. That's really important. And in a family, you know, if you got kids, bear each other's burdens to the best of our ability to do. Corinthians 14:12. Even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And I mentioned that earlier. You know, look forward to operating the manifestations. We ought to encourage each other that. You know, there's 9 manifestations. Remember that? There still is. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings, and tongues with interpretation and prophecy. And then for every single believer, you can manifest every one of those manifestations once you're born again. Don't ever forget that, and don't let anybody try to share anything different with you. Philippians 2. And that's a fun thing to do in a family. Operate the manifestations. You see a lot of great things happen in your family that are supernatural, that God just does for you because he's God and he's good and he's loving and he's kind. Chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Now that doesn't mean be a busybody. It just means be genuinely interested in one another. When I'm with you, the way it ought to be is when I'm with you, I'm thinking of how can I bless you? And that's true with my wife. It should be true with my kids. And it should be true with you. What is it that I can do to really, really bless you? You know, ask questions to your family, to your wife. You know, how was your day? How you doing? What blessed you today? What you thinking about? What's on your heart? Can I do anything for you? You want to take a walk? How about a hug? Are we too old for that? I don't think so. How's your day? Every man on the things of others. Be genuinely interested in one another. How can we bless people? It's one of the greatest quests for me in my life. You know, what is it that I can do? What is it I could say? Or, you know, what is it? How can I get through? To bless, you know. To bless. And it could be the smallest thing in your own mind, by our own mind, or the biggest thing. Boy, that's a great thing to pray for. What could I do for you today, Father? What could I do to help? What could I do to bless? What could I do to give? Romans 8. Verse I just get choked up every time I think that I have the privilege of being in God's family. It's still amazing to me. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. The first part of that verse is really referring to speaking in tongues. And the second part of that verse is so awesome. Also, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Things kind of work out when people love God. I'm sorry, Lacey. I didn't mean it. She's leaving. Sorry. She's having another child right now. They kind of work out when you love God. Love is awesome. Can't get away from it. Nor should we want to. How about... this is one of my favorite verses to misinterpret. 1 Corinthians 16. This is one of, I love giving my own private interpretation of this verse. Not really, okay? Take it easy. Verse 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. Now, holy kiss, if you look the word up for holy, it's pretty deep. I don't know. Just kidding. It kind of just gives me the impression, without knowing much about it, of being genuinely tender and affectionate with each other, to touch each other. Bob covered that really well yesterday, but what he really didn't mention about the word touch is how good it is, how healing it is. Maybe he did. It's healing. It is healing to be touched by someone. And not in the sexual manner that the context which Bob was talking about. But boy, there's that love of God. Boy, I've been healed, literally, physically healed before, without anybody saying anything because of a hug or a kiss. I have. I'll bet you have too. Where it's like, wow, something just happened. And it's because of that tenderness. Huh? But again, are we that way with everyone else but our spouse? Then that's not good. Boy, it should be that. Diane's so good. She touches me all the time. In a nice, you know. In a right. I guess all that stuff would be right in a marriage. Right. But I mean, you know, just to let me know she's around. And it drives me nuts when somebody goes behind me and touches me. I've slugged people before. I have. So I had to teach her real quick. Don't do that! Jeez! Nuts. But she doesn't, so it's good. But greet one another with the holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 4. You can relax. Some of us are older and our fingers are tired. In verse 18, you could write that down. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What's that the context of? The hope. Boy, oh boy. That is one thing that we can do with our spouses. Maybe we had a really, really rough day. Jesus Christ is coming back at the end of this shindig. You know, this time on earth is not that long. But eternity, I don't understand it. But I know that it's eternity. And I know it's everlasting life. I know all that stuff. And I know there's going to be no pain, no sorrow, nor tears, no more tears. That's got to be something that really, whether you're 15 or 55 or 90, that's got to be a comfort knowing there's a day coming that all this stuff that is bad will be gone. And I doubt if it'll be boring. I can't imagine it being boring. And it's very comforting to know that Jesus Christ is coming back. All this temporary. And the older you get, you know, your body kind of like aches once in a while and stuff like that. Why? You should be believing God. Okay. Take it easy, Charlie. And, you know, he's coming back. And when he comes back, we're going. You know, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to get gathered whether we're in a good mood or not. It could be our worst day or our best day. We might be doing something totally inappropriate. And he's coming back. You know, it doesn't matter. He's coming back. And that is something to be shared in a marriage. It's something to be shared with believers. Colossians chapter 1. These are all simple verses that you guys have seen so many times. That's okay. Verse 3 and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith or believing in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Be thankful for each other. You know, I shared this the other night at fellowship, but to be genuinely thankful, you have to be thankful to someone for something. And certainly we should be thankful to our spouses for a multitude of things, for a multitude of reasons. So be thankful for your spouse. Can you, you know, sometimes I just have to shut up, but someone actually married us, right? What were they thinking about? Chapter 13. Oh, come on, let's start walking here, people. I'm not telling you. What book do you think? Yes! Yeah, see? Ooh, that was special. That's funny. Verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. See, mooning everyone last night would have been unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily mad, thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Man, we don't come to the conclusion of evil. We might see things that aren't the best, but that's not how we should conclude things in our hearts. There's way more good than there is bad. Yeah. Don't get easily angered. I'll tell you a story what happened Friday as we're setting up here. Diane left one shoe at home. She had one of her shoes and the other shoe was at home. For some reason, I flipped out. I completely lost it. We got to get that. Call it. Let these guys go back. They can get it. They can get it. Dean and Howard, go get it. Get it. Dean and Howard, pour those in. I mean, I flipped the hell out. And she's going, no, 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 no. Okay, you got to get a shoe. What are you going to wear? One shoe? And then I said, I'd take that shoe and throw it out in the center. Didn't I? So I got in my car and I went home and I found her shoe and brought it back to her. Then I was all happy. She had her shoe and I had my moment. I mean, it's the stupid. You imagine that? Oh, God, I got mad at. Where are we? Yeah, it's not easily provoked. There you go. I don't know why that got me so mad. Just weakness, I guess. Romans 2. Isn't that silly? Yeah, well, I suppose none of you have ever done anything silly like that. A shoe! Therefore, verse 1, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. That's a really tremendous thing, too, to think about before you start pointing fingers and evaluating people and how bad they are or whatever. You know, somebody once said recently in the last couple months, "You're judging me." I go, "Yep, righteous. You're righteous. That's my judgment. You're righteous. That's my judgment." And, you know, we're too quick to judge. In chapter 14 of Romans in verse 13, it says that we're not to put a stumbling block before our brothers. If you know that your husband or your wife has a weakness and you facilitate that weakness, you are putting a stumbling block in that person's way. We should do things to try to help prevent that stuff. But we don't judge each other. We don't sit around making judgment lists every day. You know, that's a horrible way to live. Good Lord. Ephesians 4. Yeah. Verse 26. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Before you go to bed, take care of it. Take care of it. And push yourself to do it. Because I've heard people say, "Well, I can't. You know, it's just too much to deal with right now. I go to bed." Not in my house, you wouldn't. Not in my house. I don't allow that. I don't allow it. I don't. We got to take care of it. The worst thing you could ever say to me is, "Jerry, I need to talk to you about something very important sometime." Please don't ever do that to me. Unless you're willing to talk right then, because I will stop and say, "You can't do this to me. You mean too much to me. It's too important." Okay. I don't know how the adversary does this, but he must do it a lot, where he gets you to fret. He gets you to build up a whole list of things in your brain and in your heart, and it just builds and builds until one day you pop. And then you say things that you normally wouldn't say. You do things that you normally wouldn't do. And the only reason for it is you haven't shared honestly with your spouse or if it's another believer. That is a vital thing to do. And you women need to be more honest when it comes to a man asking you what's wrong. And the man knows damn well there's something wrong. And you go, "It's okay." You're lying like a rug. It's not okay. Of course, then the guy pesters you to death until you want to stab him. But somewhere, you girls especially, I don't know why, it must be the way it is, but share, dang it. If I know something's wrong and you know something's wrong, but you just... And there are times, obviously, that you shouldn't deal with it, but dang it, there are times when you should. Otherwise, you build up stuff and then you blow up like Mount Vesuvius and then nobody's happy. And I'm not picking on girls. Guys are dumb and they're whining and they're babies. Some women are complex. I don't understand them. But I do know that a lot of times when people, like women, have stuff that's on their minds and you ask them how they're doing and you as the husband know that there's something bothering them and they won't tell you, that stinks. And then you get mad and the husband feels like, "Well, shoot, I can't, what can I do?" And you know, you love your wife so much, you want to help and you can't do nothing. And that's hard. I wasn't planning on sharing that today, but that's hard. Ephesians 4, verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another." We're members. The way to put away lying is by speaking the truth. We just tell each other the truth. Joe shared this one. You don't need to go to it. Philippians 3:2. "Beware of dogs, backbiters." In a marriage, you should never, ever backbite about your spouse. You should never tell stories to your friends about your spouse and what they're not doing or how bad they are. You shouldn't gossip about your spouse. You shouldn't talk about your spouse badly at all. You should talk about him. Talk about him in glowing terms. Talk about what's great about him. Talk about how awesome they are. Talk about the word they believe. Don't, but, you know, and of course, all this deals with all believers, but geez, in a marriage, and boy, don't you ever let anybody talk bad about your spouse. Somebody starts coming to the table to you with how bad your spouse is, knock them on their ass. And then ask if you could pray for them. Don't let anybody talk crap about God's people, period, let alone your own spouse. Man, oh man, you just never allow that. 1 Thessalonians 4. These are just things that we can do as believers for one another, but I just thought in light of marriage, these are very, very simple things. It's quite a list. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Yeah. How about that? You just don't do it. You don't defraud a brother. You don't do any of that stuff, especially to your spouse. And you don't take advantage of each other. You know, 1 Peter 4. These are just all really simple things. First Peter 4, verse 8 and 9. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Be loving, be hospitable. You know, some of you people are so hospitable when I come to your homes or whatever. You're just so nice and kind. Well, be that way when you're at home, because then it'll even be better when you have company, you know. If it's, you know, you bring the best stuff out just for the company all the time. That's nice, but what about for your family? You know, just be loving, be hospitable all the time to one another. You know, thank your spouse for little things that maybe are little. Like, they get, Diane will give me a cup of coffee. That always really blesses me. That's so nice. I don't expect it. I don't go like this. Coffee, please. You just don't do that. I'm thankful. I'm thankful when she helps me fold the clothes. I'm thankful. She vacuums the fellowship room before fellowship and then 10 seconds after the fellowship. I'm thankful. That's nice. It's really nice. So I'd like to go back to Galatians 6 and we'll close here. So in closing, I wanted this weekend to be a time of being blessed and refreshed. Being blessed by God's word, being refreshed by God's word and the fellowship of one another. And I also desired it to be a time that we could learn more in the word of God about how to be a better husband or wife from the word. And then to have a real wonderful time fellowshipping with one another. When I evaluate these sorts of fellowships, I never think in terms of, you know, the candy or, you know, I try to think, well, was God happy with it? You know, is God blessed? I think so. And I think he's blessed because his word was magnified, he was glorified, and God's word got presented in a very simple way, but also a very needful way. And I'm so thankful to God for the privilege that we know anything according to his word, let alone things that could really, really help us in our lives in something that's so very important, which is families, which is something the adversary has sought to destroy and has gotten worse and worse many years. You guys have all beaten the odds, you know. You have, because you've stood and you've loved each other and you've taken care of each other. And really, I think that you're quite good examples of marriage. And I'm sure all of us have things that we could improve on and which we should desire to improve on. But you love each other and you care for each other, and it shows. Even in those tough times. And we've all been, you know, we have been through the wars together, haven't we? And somehow, we're still here. And we still like each other. And you're in this 30 years or whatever. I came here in 79. No, 82. So it's not 30 years yet, but 27 years. In that time, we've seen our children, many of us, grow into incredible, like the Allenders, you know. God, if you're not thankful, you know, you should be shot. You know, you got beautiful children who love God. You did something right, you know. Maybe that's it, but you did that. The Sonardos, same thing, man. You got two of your kids here, Renee and what's his name? Chris. And they're standing on God's word. You know, it's amazing. Who else here has kids here? Yeah, the Nafies. There's 50 Nafies standing on the word. The Hannons standing on God's word. The Genoveses kids. The Pittengers kids. Look at that. Katie's. I mean, man, it's been awesome.
The Carr kids.
Huh?
The Carr kids.
Jerry's kids. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's spectacular. The Armstrong kids. I mean, all you guys have raised your kids. I look around and I just see your marriages, you know, and I've heard you guys, I've counseled you, you know, you got this and that. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? Maybe so, but guess what? You've raised some really great kids. You got the Cochalotto kid, married to an Egyptian. Who knew?
We like him and we love him.
It's just amazing, though. And what a blessing, isn't it? To think that maybe we've had rough times, but look at your kids. They're doing all right. They're doing okay. Your mommy's back there, Mark. Look at that. Look at that. She did something right. It is amazing. I have good memories, man. I do. I have the greatest memories. My greatest pain in all of life is watching people grow in God's word and fight through stuff. You could not pay me a billion gazillion bucks. You know, it's just fun to watch. I mean, I remember meeting Lisi the first time. Her and Marty. Where's Marty? I remember meeting you guys, and you guys were so ghetto-rific. I mean, you were just... But, like, I don't think you guys were in the Word more than 3 or 4 months, and I said, and I only mentioned it once, I want to send some people someplace this year. And you both came up to me right after that. It was on West Street, wasn't it? And you both go, I'm down. Or whatever. I go, do you know who you're talking to? When you say you're down to me, you better friggin' be down. And you looked at me like I was some idiot. I said I'm down. Who is this white boy? I'm down. You understand? And they end up going into Idaho. I remember when Joe Armstrong moved here. And before he moved, he called and said, you know, we're coming up and we're looking for jobs for Carol to be a teacher. And I said, well, why do you want to move here? And Joe's like, I don't know. What do you ask me that for? I don't know. That settled that. I was like, all right. I was waiting for him to say, God told me. We're a fine lot. We're God's family. We're the best. And you guys have done a good job in your marriages and raising your kids. We can do better, but, you know, that day's coming when we'll all be perfect. My old friend Joe Guarini, and a lot of your old friends, Joe Guarini, when someone would get on a righteous kick, he would look at him and go, it must be great to be so perfect and odor-free. Gee, willikers. What a life we have, huh? We started this advance laughing. Might as well end it laughing, huh? In Galatians 6:10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And that's you and me. We're in the household of faith. And it's also us and our spouses who were married, are born again, believe the same word, and we should be especially good unto them. Right now, what I want you to do, and you can adjust yourself if you need to, is I want you to get near your spouse, and I want us to pray for each other. Okay, so if you need to roll your chair, you can do whatever you want. Get near your spouse. I'll come to you, honey, in a minute. And we're going to pray for each other here in a minute. Somebody get with Lita. Don't you get with the Armstrongs. Okay? That's nice. Well, it's nice to have comfortable chairs at one of these things. Jeez, the older you get, the more you don't even want to go to an advance because you have to sit there all day with hard things and stuff. I think it's one of the most important and valuable things in a marriage is to pray with each other. And it's a time of tenderness and a time of healing. And so, in a second here, you men pray for your wives and then you wives pray for your men. And then when you're done, we'll close it out, okay? Go ahead. Says in the book of Psalms, the Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. It sure has been a blessing being with you. God's word provides strength, and God's word provides peace. It's just awesome what just happened now. It's just awesome. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your love, kindness, and grace. Thank you for making this time available in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for our health and strength, for our homes, and for our future. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.